CBS Sports Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Moore. Joining me are Chris Barnwell and James Herbert. This is the next in our series talking about the over-unders and win totals for the 2017-18 NBA season. James joins us from New York, where the weather seems to be fine. Chris joins us from Florida, where not so much. Chris is headed out here in a couple of days to evacuate from his location in Florida. He's been out picking up sandbags, and yet he takes time to do this stupid podcast with us. So thanks for that, Chris. We hope you're safe. To everyone, both in Houston in the wake of Harvey and in Florida, waiting for Irma to do whatever it is that she's going to do, stay safe. We're thinking of you. We want the best for you. We hope you get this podcast provides you a little bit of a distraction from all the serious stuff going on, has been the trend over the last X amount of months. So, guys, we're going to talk today, second part of our ongoing discussion, we're going to talk about the Central Division. It's obviously got the bajillion time, the three-time Eastern Conference champion Cleveland Cavaliers, who may be in their most vulnerable position of the last several years. It's got some very mid-level teams. It's got a couple of interesting squads. It's got some flat-out bad ones. This will be a very, I think, top-heavy and not top-heavy. There'll be a high inequality between the top and the bottom. This may have one of the highest differences in win totals, at least in the East. I think the West, Pacific, probably because of the Warriors, but the top team in the Central, the Cavs, as we all expect, will probably have a huge differential between that and the bottom. We started the other day going from the top down in terms of what was last year's order. Today we're going to do, I think, we're way up from what I think's going to happen. So let's start with James Herbert's favorite team in the NBA, these Chicago Bulls. And Jimmy Butler is a Timberwolf. Zach LaVine is out for an unknown amount of time, though he is making noise about trying to be ready for opening night. I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. Lauri Markkanen, after a terrible summer league, the finisher, as our colleague Tom Fornelli of College Football has taken to calling him, has been tearing up Eurobasket, so that they've got that going for him.
Killing it.
I liked Lauri Markkanen. I'm excited for him to be a good NBA player if he can be. I don't know. We'll see. Other than that, they have absolutely nothing because Wade's probably gone. Their over-under for this upcoming season is... I gotta pull that up, actually.
But it's 22.
22. A glorious 22. So, in that vein, let's start with James, who's such a Bulls fan over the last couple of years. How bad is this garbage team going to be?
Let's just talk about Lauri Markkanen's Eurobasket, man. He's been awesome. He's been clutch. Aside from that one game where he got like hurt on the last possession, but even leading up to that, he made some big plays. No, I mean, look, this is a team built to lose. And that's not even such a bad thing. I mean, the Bulls were going nowhere. They were mediocre. They had this awesome player, but they were failing to put complimentary players around him. Now they have the direction. The direction is straight down to the bottom of the entire league. I have them projected to be the worst team in the league. I have them at 18 wins. But I don't think that's so bad, man. Like, I think the best asset they might end up getting out of the whole Jimmy Butler trade is a top pick in next year's draft and a franchise player that way. So yeah, they're going to suck, but they'll let their young players run around and that's okay.
I have them only ever so slightly ahead of you. I have them with 19 wins and the worst team in the NBA. So a lot of this I've been looking at, thinking about roster, fit, coaching, and then factors like, are they going to trade a guy? The Bulls are going to actively tank. We know that basically past January 1, this team is going to be actively looking to fail and lose. Or at least the roster, like the front office is going to be manipulating things. Like, if Zach LaVine comes back in January and he has even a little bit of a blip, but just some soreness, they could shut him down. That wouldn't be surprising at all. They'll be looking to actively tank. Fred Hoiberg, I think, is in a pretty dicey spot because I think he hasn't been given a great roster to work with the last couple of years, but he also hasn't overachieved with what he's been given. And that, to me, sets up for some real issues, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if he was let go at midseason. I don't want that. I think Fred seems like a nice guy. I don't want any coach to get fired, but it wouldn't surprise me because last season you started to see, after the front office had aligned itself so much with Hoiberg, specifically like in conversations of Hoiberg versus Jimmy Butler when they had some conflicts 2 years ago, the front office was so resolutely behind Hoiberg, they tied themselves to him. Last year, you saw that kind of reverse course. So I just think that there's a lot of ways this is going to go haywire. There's a lot of ways this could be bad. It would be shocking if they were good. I like a lot of these players. I like Zach LaVine. I like Bobby Portis. I like some of their guards. I like some of their wings. I love Robin Lopez, but this team is bad. Chris?
Yeah, I think they're going to be bad, but it's weird. I didn't expect me to be the one that was more positive on them. I have a 21 wins. Like, I
close to the over-under.
They're on the under, but I'm still just surprised more in the sense that I think they're going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be horrendous by any means. I think there are capable players on the roster. I think they have NBA players. Like, they're not some of these really bad teams we've seen in the past where, like, there's maybe, like, five NBA players on the entire roster. Like, there are NBA players on this roster that we will see at least around. I probably am higher on Mark Cannon than most people, I think. At least I was higher on him at the draft. So I don't think they're going to be good by any means, but I don't think this is going to be an absolutely terrible team from a quality standpoint. I don't think they're going to be fun to watch at all. And I actually am really fascinated to kind of look at them and see, okay, what is Fred Hoiberg as a coach? Because this is, by getting rid of Jimmy Butler, they basically decided, okay, we are giving you what you want. We're giving you youth and a full slate to go whatever direction you want to go. Because there's no one on this team that's good enough for to not listen to him unless he just has no ability at all to get people to listen to him as a coach. So if they are going into the season not playing the supposed Hoiberg ball that has been like his big thing over the last few years, is, well, he hasn't got to run the style he wants to. If they're still not running the style he wants to get run, then he's just not connected with players and they shouldn't even keep him anyways because of that.
That's a great point. Let's go to the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, lost Paul George, lost Jeff Teague. Teague's numbers were good last year, even if a lot of people didn't think his play was all that good. I have a lot of questions now about coaching there. I think that that's a concern worth being there. Their over-under is not exceptionally high. There's not a lot of faith there. It's 31.5. So a little bit more confidence than the Bulls, obviously, at 9 more wins. 31.5. I have them actually well under at 24 wins. I think that they'll be right there with Chicago for one of the worst teams in the league. I don't like the coaching. I don't like the Thad Young is going to get traded because that's what happens. He goes to teams, they get bad, and he's traded.
Yep.
I don't think it's his fault. Like, what happens to him? Miles Turner is the only reason I kind of like want to kind of hesitate. It's like, man, Miles Turner could be really good next year. There are some numbers, some advanced metrics you can look at that say that Turner could have an absolutely stellar year, but then you wonder, okay, he was really good and efficient when Paul George was next to him. What's going to happen when he's the best player on the team, which he now is? They made moves to try and just kind of rotate in place, like Darren Collison and these types of guys. I don't think that that's going to help them. They're not going to actively tank because Herb Simon doesn't believe in it. He just doesn't go that route. They're going to try and be good, but I think that they'll just be unintentionally bad. They're just going to be a genuinely bad team. And I think that they wind up with a bottom five record in the NBA. Chris?
I have a 28 wins. That has the potential to go down, to be honest. Because, like you, I'm not really particularly fond of the roster. I'm not believing in TJ Leaf at all as their draft pick. The only reason I really see them kind of reaching that 30 win mark would be if Victor Oladipo kind of showed out a little more this year. If Miles Turner did become the player that a lot of us think he can be. I'm really a big believer in Miles Turner. If Darren Collison's, he looked all right in Sacramento. I mean, it's possible he'll do that again in Indiana. Just there are always these random teams where it's like, oh, they're going to be bad. And then for whatever reason, they all come together and they win a bunch of games. Corey Joseph is good. So there's potential for them to be a surprise team. But to be honest, I'm not betting on it. Though I might end up knocking some more games off them by the time we get to solidifying our over-unders.
James?
Yeah, I have them at 21. I have them really low.
Lower than both of us.
I just...
Another team that you were not super fond of last year that got worse.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I love Miles Turner. I think there is upside in Oladipo. And that's the way that, like, if I see in the preseason that he's just killing it, then maybe I raise up the projection. But looking at it right now, I'm like, I don't see a ton of above average offensive players. I don't see a lot of like great defensive units that are going to play together. I'm kind of at a loss as to how this team is, like, what their formula is going to be. Like, last year, they had a lot more talent and they had no identity whatsoever. This year, they're still this kind of amorphous blob of guys, but they have way less talent. So I don't know what there is to buy into here. I can see, like, I know what I would be looking for if I was a Pacers fan. Like, all I would really care about is how good Turner is, how well Sabonis fits next to him. Like, if that's a partnership that's going to work, and what Oladipo does with the ball in his hands. Like, those are the only things I really care about. And like, oh, maybe Corey Joseph could be a starting point guard, like that kind of thing. But beyond that, I just think they're going to be really bad. And I know they don't intend to tank right now. You don't go and get Joseph and sign Collison and sign Bogdanovich and do all that stuff if you just want to be as awful as possible. But I do think once you get to March and April, if they're within range of having the worst record in the league or like one of the bottom three, then I think maybe this is the first time that you'll see the Pacers tank once they are in that hunt for a franchise player, because it does, again, like it looks like there's going to be a few guys in next year's draft that will be franchise changers.
As a sign of how terrible the East is, and I have a piece coming about out on the subject tomorrow, the Pacers are only plus 375 to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. That is low for odds. For example, the Pacers have better odds of making the playoffs than the Dallas Mavericks do, according to the odds.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bulls, by comparison, the Bulls are plus 1,500. So that tells you like the gap between Chicago and Indiana. And
that's weird. I don't think they're that different.
I don't either, but I think the difference is going to be Chicago's not going to try to win, and Indiana's still going to. So like,
and I think Indiana has the potential to be a surprise team. I don't think there's any potential in Chicago being like some shocking team next year.
So like, if all the teams that we expect to be bad in the East are bad, and then one team just has that year where it's like everything falls apart, like Charlotte or Miami or whoever, like it all just goes to complete garbage, and then the Pacers are kind of rattling along there at like realistically six games under 500, that can get you in. Like, that's how low it is. So that plus 375, that's what the odds are for the Indiana Pacers. The Detroit Pistons. This one. Woo.
This is the toughest team to project.
38.5.
Gonna get angry again.
38.5 over under. Last year, hovered around the playoffs for about half the season, then the wheels fell off. Reggie Jackson looked like garbage, and they were trying to actively trade him. Andre Drummond comes up in trade rumors, and then like the Pistons got really angry at that rumor coming out. Quietly made some okay moves, I thought, in free agency. I think that they bolstered a few spots here and there to make their bench a little bit better. I don't mind the KCP move. I don't think that he's such a huge loss for them that it puts them in jeopardy. To me, it just simply comes down to Drummond. Which Andre Drummond are we going to get? I have them at the just over at 39 wins. They are just barely in the playoffs. I have them as the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference at 39 friggin' wins, a full two games under 500, which is maybe optimistic. James, where do you fall on Detroit?
Yeah, the over-under is 38.5. I have them at 41.
Woo!
And
ooh.
Yeah. I don't think that actually put them in the playoffs in my projections.
What? You think the East team's going to have more than 41?
Hey, we're going to do the whole conference on this thing, so you'll hear. But no, I just it's really tough for me because I thought last
Jackson
year's team
love persists.
Well, I mean, he had one really bad injury plagued season. He was just never the same after that knee injury. If he gets back to being who he is, then that's like a really easy bounce back call, especially if you like Avery Bradley more than you like KCP, which I certainly do.
Yeah, Bradley's huge for
I should mention. Yeah, so it's just tough because last year's team was like really no fun to watch. They had no chemistry. They would be awful defensively in some games for like no real reason. Like, right. They started the season pretty good on that end, and then it was just like they stopped trying. And it's not like Stan started being a bad defensive coach or anything. Like, he's telling them the same things. They just stopped doing it. Like, they were just a really frustrating team to watch last year. Drummond is a guy that at times looks like a super duper star, and at other times is just kind of slow and not engaged defensively. And like, one night he'll grab 25 rebounds, one night he'll grab 7, and there's no real reason. Like, I don't really get it. Like, I don't get him. And I could see, I think there is some urgency there for the season to start well. And if it doesn't, I could see both those guys that you talked about being traded or essentially dumped, and them just saying, we need to chart a new course here. And if that's what happens, like, they're not getting to that 38.5. Like, they're certainly not getting to that 41. But I was encouraged with it were 2 years ago. I'm willing to kind of look at last season and say that could be an aberration, based on chemistry problems and the Jackson injury. I do think if you're just looking at talent, there's enough to be a plus 500 team in this weak ass Eastern Conference. Now, will it actually come together? Will that happen? I don't know. I went with 41, but I don't think it's going to be like a little bit off. I think if it's off, then it's because they've completely broken up the team and gone an entirely new direction.
Yeah, like the implosion factor, I think, here is not insignificant. Like, this could be a make or break season for Andre Drummond in Detroit. It could be a make or break season for Stan Van Gundy in Detroit. It could be a make or break season. Like, there's just all these ways that it can go haywire. Like, there's just, I could see all of these scenarios for it going haywire. They are plus 130 to make the playoffs, so not favored, minus 150 to miss. Those are extremely narrow odds. Like, the odds are basically telling you it's a coin flip. It's an entirely a coin flip where they make the playoffs.
Don't waste your time betting on this.
Yeah. Stay away from this line.
Chris?
I have them at 36 wins.
Lower than
because, and that annoys me because this is a team I think should be a 45 win team.
Yeah.
I like Andre Drummond a lot. I love Avery Bradley. I'm a big Tobias Harris fan. I liked Reggie Jackson when he was good. I used to like Stanley Johnson. He might not actually be good, and that actually makes me kind of sad. I think I watched Henry Ellison at Summer League and fell in love with the dude. He's fun to watch. Just, there are so many people on this roster that I'm like, yeah, I believe in them. And they were
Please
awful.
Mention Boban. Come on.
Yes, Boban too. Yes, Boban too. Don't worry.
Are we talking mascots? Is that where?
He's a real player.
Is he? Is he though?
Yes. Is he though? You will see.
Eric Moreland. I like Eric Moreland. He's there now.
He's a guy.
But I like the roster. Like, I really like the players on this team. I loved them. I picked them to be like so good last year, and they betrayed me. They were awful. Andre Drummond was by far of important players in the league. Andre Drummond was the worst. Like, there was no one as bad as he was as far as important players go for their like the teams that relied on them last year. Just, I was so frustrated with them last year. And I can't do it again. I can't buy into them again. So I have about 36 wins. I'm not very happy about it. I want them to be a 45 win team. I want them to be a good team. I love Stan Van Gundy. I want them to be great. I can't believe in them. Not again.
How fast do you buy in again if they start strong though? Because I feel like you really love this team, but you've just been hurt.
That's pretty much it.
Man, they were an example of a team that, and this happens sometimes with squads. Sometimes like things just, everything goes bad. Like Jackson's hurt and then doesn't come back right. Drummond is checked out and doesn't commit himself mentally. Like, and then you start seeing weird stuff. Like, Tobias Harris, by all accounts, should be a consistent player, and he would drift from being like, oh, hey, Tobias Harris had a really good game, to like god awful, getting benched and then getting brought back and then like all this stuff. By the way, Boban Marjanovic played 8 minutes per game last season. Like John Lure, like all of these guys.
That's why I'm excited about this season, because Baines is gone. He's going to play.
Like, all of these guys are guys that should be more consistent, and they all melted down. It was just a crazy meltdown in a total collective. Okay, that's three teams down. We got two more to go. The darling of preseason projections that James, in typical fashion, has, after being high on them for years, has now reversed course on your Milwaukee Bucks. With MVP sleeper, but not really sleeper, because everyone's kind of talking about it. Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Milwaukee Bucks at 47.5 wins. That is a high mark. Their odds of making the playoffs are... Second sheet. They are minus 800 to make the playoffs. They are a near lock. Plus 550 to miss. Jabari Parker, we don't know when he's going to be back. They didn't make any... I'm not aware of a substantial offseason addition that they made. Mostly just kept guys are kind of rolling it back after last season. And up a year where they were really up and down. Chris, what do you have the Milwaukee Bucks at?
Because of the drop-off in the East and continuity, I have them at 49 wins.
Woo!
I am a big believer in, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point. He sold me on him last year. Malcolm Brogdon is only going to get better. They got rid of Spencer Hawes, which can only be a good thing. I like what they do on defense. I think it's unique. I think it's different. It's going to burn them sometimes, but when it works for them really well. I'm a big believer in Chris Middleton. I'm not sure how good Jabari Parker actually is, but I think he's helpful when he is actually healthy and helping and playing for them. When he's actually on the floor, I think he's good. So I think when he comes back, it'll be good for them. And with how much worse the East got, I think they're going to really beat up on some of those bad teams on the bottom. So yeah, I think their wins are going to go up, and I think they're going to be a really good team.
James?
The defense is the question for me. Like,
it's so inconsistent.
They were 19th last year. Like, there's no reason that team should have been 19th on defense. Like, they have too many guys that are good defenders. They have too much length. But they play that super aggressive style that, like you said, like, sometimes it just burns them. They give up, like, wide open shots. They give up easy layups off of cuts and stuff like that. And I can look at this and say, well, like, the schedule has changed. Maybe they'll be fresher and they'll be able to play that trapping, aggressive, like, super hyperactive style better this year. Maybe just... them, like, they it's a pretty young team. Maybe them being older, they'll just get better at it now. I don't know. Like, they might need to be more conservative in their approach if they're really going to change it. And to me, that's a big thing. Like, if they're a meaningfully better defensive team, they're like a top 10, top 5 defensive team, which I don't think that's, like, crazy, then sure. Like, they could be over. They could be 50 wins. I'm just not super confident that's necessarily going to happen. And I did not like their summer of basically standing pat. I love Giannis as much as anybody and think he's one of the best players in the league. But I don't know that there's enough around him. So right now I have them at under. I have them at 45 as a solid playoff team. I think I have them at fifth in the East, but not quite an elite one yet. And by the way, like, that doesn't have to be bad. Like, even though I'm down on their summer and not as excited about them as I have been in years past, even though I'm stoked to watch Giannis again. Like, this really is about 2019, 2020, 2021. Like, them eventually surrounding Giannis with the guys that can really win. And Middleton could be one of those guys. Parker could be one of those guys. Thon Maker, I think you should see him have a bigger role this year and more responsibility. Like, that could be cool if he becomes more than a bit player for them during the regular season. I'm just not sure they're there yet. So I think they'll be good, but I don't think they'll be great.
I'm at 47, so just under, or 46. I have them at 46 wins, just under the over-under. I think that they're a solid playoff team. Their defense is a really interesting question. So as an example, they were really solid defensively. In November at 102.7 defensive rating, December at 104.7, they start off the year great. That was what how they kind of got a boost to. And then January hit, and they jumped to 111. They went from 104.7 in December and 111 in January back down to, like, 109 in February. They had... They and the Heat had opposite seasons, where the Bucks were a good team that had a bad two-month stretch, and the Heat were a bad team that had a good two-month stretch. Like, they had exact opposite seasons, and I do think, you know, I am not. We'll see how much they use that trapping style. If they commit to it, if they stay with it. If teams get the book out on it, they're more prepared for it. How the rest will work. We talked about that with the Rockets. It's the same kind of thing as with the defense. Like, oh, the Bucks might have more energy. Yeah, but other teams might too, and they won't get worn down by the trap. So all of these questions, I think, are interesting. I think they're definitely a playoff team. But for me, if you're looking at 47.5, at 48 wins, that is really close to 50. And a team with this many guys under 25, which you're looking at Giannis, Jabari, Rashad Vaughn, Middleton's is going to be 26. You've got Thon Maker, Brogdon, 6 months younger than Kyrie.
Brogdon plays like he's 35. It's fine.
Brogdon, 6 months younger than Kyrie.
Brogdon's like 50. Come on.
Gary Payton the second, if he sticks on the team. Snell, all of these guys are 26 or younger. Those teams do not win 50 games. Like, that's just my general thought, is unless you're the Thunder and you have Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. By the way, that was one of the stunning things, is I was looking back at that 2010 team that made the playoffs and lost to the Lakers in the first round. That Thunder team won 50 games. That's insane. Like, that's insane how good that Thunder core was. Missed that team.
It's kind of terrible because they've kind of set a bad precedent for how much. Yes. Yeah, it's, we look at the, like, these new young teams and like, oh, well, they should be like that Thunder team. They should be making the playoffs and reaching close to 50 games. Like, no, they had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Like,
no, well,
anomaly.
That's what we say until we get to James's Sixers prediction. Be a joy.
60 wins, Matt. 60 wins.
Okay, so 46 for the Bucks, solid playoff team. Not a lot of money to be made on their playoff chances because they're pretty clearly a playoff team. Things would have to go really haywire, and there would be major changes if they don't make it. I'll be really interested to see what happens when Jabari gets back, because the plus minus numbers were very interesting with Jabari on court, but he's still so talented, or he was, but the knee injury, that's a really interesting question going into the season. P.S.
That annoys me. That's a thing. Like, I wrote a thing that went up today about, like, how can you measure success for teams? And the Eastern Conference one went up today. The West is going to go up Friday. It's basically like, there are like a handful of title contenders. The rest, like, you're going to have to evaluate their season a different way. And the way I started the Milwaukee section, I was just like, I'm just bummed that Jabari is not healthy now, and you don't really know what he's going to be later in the year. Because to me, if I'm a Bucks fan, like, the most important question is how Parker and Giannis, and really how Parker, Giannis, and Middleton can all play together. And I would just want to see them get as many minutes as possible as a trio to see how that works, because I just don't think we really know if that's viable yet. Like, we don't really know if that can be the core. And at a certain point, they're going to have to make a decision on whether or not to pay Parker. So that's a thing the front office has to consider. But I think just, like, observing the team, I'm not really sure if it's ever going to work properly. I think if Giannis and Parker improve their shooting and they end up being able to space the floor better, then maybe. Like, there's a scenario where if they develop really good chemistry, it could be kind of scary because they're all so talented. But I just don't know yet. And they're going to end up having to basically see what that's like for a relatively short period of time when he's coming back for an injury and not 100%. And I just think that's tough. Like, that's going to be tough as they try to, like, figure out their identity and their rotation heading into the playoffs, and as they try to manage their roster over the next few years.
My last thought on the Bucks: Greg Monroe is awesome. He was really great last year defensively. He is way better than he has been in years. Like, he's really committed himself. You have to put him in certain schemes, but you can do it. He is a really good passer, can finish with either hand, and I think he's awesome. And teams should go trade for him if he's still available. I think he can help you. I love Greg Monroe. Viva la Moose. All right. The Cleveland Cavaliers are pretty well expected to make the playoffs, it turns out. There's a strong belief that the Cavs can reach the postseason this year at minus 5,000, which is hilariously low compared to the Warriors, which we'll get to later. No is plus 1,500, and that's kind of the bar for most non-Warriors teams. The Celtics are also plus 1,500 to miss the playoffs. So they're going to make the playoffs. The question is going to be, how many wins do they tally? And this is, I think, a really interesting one. They're at 53.5 wins. We don't know when Isaiah Thomas is going to be back. They had Jay Crowder. Kyrie's gone, obviously. No real other departures from their core. All the other guys are returning. Kyle Korver, Richard Jefferson, etc. So, James, how much is LeBron going to care about the season? And how many games will Isaiah be around for?
I don't know. I wish I knew. This is one of those.
Thanks for coming for this expert analysis, everyone. Make sure to subscribe.
Yeah, man. Don't come to me for somehow projecting how many games Isaiah Thomas is going to play next year. Like this is one of those weird things where I'm just like, how the hell do these Vegas guys do it? Because I made all these
sauces
projections. Yeah, but I made all these projections before I looked at the over-unders, and I had Cleveland at 53, and then I saw the over-under was 53 and a half. I was like, oh, damn. Like, I just kind of, like, made that number up for, like, with not a whole lot of reasoning behind it. Like, I just, you obviously, if they're healthy and they're trying, like, this is a 60-plus win team to me. They have fallen short of that before, and Isaiah Thomas is a massive, massive question mark, and Derrick Rose is a massive, massive downgrade. So a lot of this is just guesswork, man. Like, LeBron James can obviously still win a lot of games with a subpar, like, supporting cast, even with Isaiah out. It's just, how hard is he willing to push himself if that is the case? What is their defense going to look like next season compared to last season? What about this variable where they could trade the pick? It wouldn't shock me if they even traded one of Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson. If they look at the roster and they say, well, in the playoffs, we're going to want Jay Crowder at the three and LeBron at the four and one of those guys at the five, like maybe one of the, like the other one just gets moved. I think all ranges, like all, it's a really wide range of possibilities for Cleveland this season. I have the slight under. But that was kind of an accident.
Chris?
I have him at 52 wins because just I am not sure how healthy Isaiah Thomas is going to be. I think LeBron is going to play, and I think he's going to care enough to like get them to that 50-win mark, because that's one thing I do know about LeBron at this point is he does enough to get him a high seed. Like, they're not going to be a 4 seed. They're not going to be a 5 seed. They're not going to fall below the 50-win mark. They will do what they need to do. He will make sure they get there. Is he going to coast? Yeah, probably. He always coasts. But I still think there's enough talent on this team and a very weakened East to at least get to the 50-win mark. And then besides that, I can't really trust them to get much more than that. Like, maybe they prove me wrong, but just based on what we've seen from them the last couple of years, like, they haven't really given us much reason to believe that right now.
Hammer the under. I'll say it right now. Hammer the under. They are not winning 53 games. They will win above 50 and less than 53. I know it's a narrow kind of slot there.
It's extremely narrow.
Narrow, but I just, LeBron's not going to care. I think Derrick Rose is not going to be a good fit next to him. I think there's going to be like issues all over the place with this. I think that they'll be fine once the playoffs come around. I think Isaiah and he could be great together.
Me too.
But Isaiah's got to get back, and we do not know. Interesting article from Tom Haberstroh today about that. A lot of stuff to figure out on that end. Hammer the under, hammer the under, hammer the under, hammer the under on both Cleveland and, as a teaser, on Boston as well. Take the under on both of those. Not 53.
I say stay away.
I feel good about the under. I would not be shocked if they won like 49-48. It wouldn't stun me if LeBron just took a month off. Also, like, look, we will keep saying it until it does happen. Eventually LeBron is going to have some sort of thing where he's got to take some time off. It there's no way that physically a person can do that, and he's got so many miles on him. We are in that period like Tim Duncan. We were like, we got to wait and see if this ever winds up, you know, actually limiting him and he misses time. And Duncan wound up having some issues where he missed some time. So father time comes for us all. This is an aging roster, like Kyle Korver, Richard, like they have so many old dudes. I wish they had younger guys on the roster to be able to fill in. Also, you want the biggest reason? And I feel bad about this because I've interviewed him and really like him. And I think he's gone through like hell with his heart stuff. And I don't like how much he's been vilified, but they signed Jeff Green. That should be reason enough to take the under, is they signed Jeff Green. That to me is enough.
So Jeff Green, sixth man of the year.
Sixth man of the year, Jeff Green. All right, that's Chris Barnwell. That's James Herbert. I have to go pick up my kiddo, so we get a run. We will be back later this week with some different guests talking about some of the other divisions. I will definitely have James back because I have to hear his wild Eastern Conference predictions. Guys, thanks for joining
me. Wild. Thank you, Matt.
Later.